Carter Conlon from the historic Times Square Church in New York City.
We become addicted to add-on praying. And we end up praying. Our whole focus becomes bread, water, clothing, houses. And we start focusing on what God has already promised to give us if we'll focus on the right thing.
That's Carter Conlon from Times Square Church in New York City. We're glad you're with us here on A Call to the Nation. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us not to worry about what shall we eat or what shall we drink, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In today's message, Carter will teach us why we should not fall into the trap of praying for the add-ons in our lives. Let's discover more as we join Carter now.
In Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 31, Jesus told those that were listening to him at this time, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" In other words, do not let the focus of your life be on the things in your cupboard, the things that sustain you physically, places that you live, and the clothes that are on your back. Don't let that be your primary focus. I'm not suggesting we don't think about these things. We do. That's why we work. That's why we have jobs. That's why we pay rent. "For after all these things the Gentiles seek," in other words, he said, all these things the people who do not know God are concerned about. That's what occupies their whole day. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." He knows. He's aware. He knows every need that you have. People online tonight, he knows what you need. He knows the groceries that maybe you lack and you need. He knows all of these things. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, these are add-ons to another kind of prayer. If you seek first the kingdom of God, seek first that place that God has for you in his house, in his kingdom. Seek first the calling of God that is upon your life. Seek first the ability that God promises to give you and to give me to do the very things that he's called us to do that will glorify his name on the earth. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means to live in a manner that represents him morally, ethically. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first, God, make me an honest person. Make me a truthful person. Make me a morally clean person. Make me a focused person. Make me a loving person. Make me a compassionate person. God, make me a fearless person, that I will do what you call me to do, and I will do it boldly in your strength and with your power, with your heart and with your mind. Show me what you have for me in your kingdom. I'm not called to be ordinary. None of us here are. We are extraordinary people in God. The Apostle Peter says we are peculiar people. We are strange to this world as it is. And we are called to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's who we are. We are heralds of who he is. We are beacons on a hilltop. We are healing where there's a wounded nation. We are clear thinking where there's nothing but confusion. We are a voice for the voiceless and those that have no one to call out for them. That's who we are. And that's what our seeking is to be. But you see, what happens is we become addicted to add-on praying. And we end up praying. Our whole focus becomes bread, water, clothing, houses. And we start focusing on what God has already promised to give us if we'll focus on the right thing. I remember years ago serving the Lord with all my heart, and about 2 weeks before I traveled to Eastern Canada on an evangelistic crusade, the Lord moved on my heart. I didn't have much money in the bank, but I had some. It was a fund there, and the Lord moved on my heart to give it to a friend so he could buy a car because he had no car. And we obeyed. Pastor Teresa and I never would do this without consent. And I talked to her about it. And she said, if the Lord's calling you to do it, do it. So we really gave away all of our savings so somebody could buy themselves a car. Then went to Eastern Canada. And while I was there preaching, our house burnt to the ground. We lost everything, everything. Even the firemen said it was one of the most incredible fires they'd ever seen in their lifetime. It just happened to be that a huge wind came up. The house, of course, was a farmhouse that we had built and rebuilt and rebuilt and rebuilt for about 12 years. And it was log. The walls were square log. So you can just imagine how that thing burned. It caved into the basement and there was nothing left. We came back to just ashes. We had no money. We had no clothes for our children. Thank God he had taken our children out of the house and they had been spared. And to this day, my heart is grateful. But we had nothing. We ended up living in the house of our friends, another pastoral couple. And one morning I remember going up for a jog because I used to like to run at that time. And I went up for a jog and we had nothing. But I had everything. I remember saying as I stepped out the door to go for a run, it was a cold November morning. And I said, Lord, I don't have clothes for my children. I don't even have a toothbrush to brush my teeth. But your word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Lord, I have sought you first, and I will continue to seek your will for my life. And I will continue to ask you to make me the kind of a man that I should be, that can bring honor to your name. And you said that you would add to my life all these things that I need. And folks, I just watched the miracles of God unfold before me. I didn't focus on it. I didn't ask for a dime from anybody. But I watched God do what only God can do. I watched him give back everything that was taken away. We bought a new house. It wasn't as big, but it was nice and it was new. We bought new furniture. I even bought a pair of skates that I always wanted and never was able to afford. And when we had bought everything, new clothes for our children, we had everything. There was nothing left to buy. And when it was all said and done, I had exactly the same amount of money that I had given away to put back in the bank. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I wanted to show you that I can take it all away and I can give it all back. What I want you to do is continue to seek me first, to seek my will for your life, my power to perform what I've called you to do, to seek to be a truthful, honest, virtuous person that can stand and represent me and in your generation. That was the cry. And he said, all these things will be added to you. I've made a point of all my life, all my Christian life, I have never told anybody any of my needs. I've made it a point not to do that. You see, because sometimes sharing a need with somebody is just unbelief in disguise. It's unbelief wearing a tuxedo. I want you to pray about my need. And folks, realistically, it's just begging in the house of God. It's a lack of faith. I've made a point of not sharing my needs, and God has met every one of my needs all these years. All these years, he has never failed. All these things shall be added to you. But we fall into the trap of praying for the add-ons. Isn't it amazing? Laodicea was a church in Revelation, and I'm sure they had no prayer meetings. Now I know why there's no prayer meetings in America. There are very, very few prayer meetings in this nation because we prospered. God blessed this country for the reasons of godliness. There wasn't always total godliness, obviously, in the nation, but there was an honoring of his name. And he blessed the nation. He blessed the churches. He blessed the people. And when the cupboards were full and when the clothes were new and when everybody had a nice roof over their head and they had stuff in the cupboard, then if that's all we're praying for, then why pray anymore? Why go to prayer when our needs are met? You see, it's a falling short of what we're called to be as a people. The church of Laodicea, they were a church. They're addressed as a church. And they said, well, we're rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. So why would they pray? Why would they be seeking God? The scripture describes their condition as lukewarm. Jesus looked at this church and said, you're wretched, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You've lost something. You've lost what your purpose is supposed to be in the earth. Why I've called you, why I've saved you, why I've left you here. I liken it to a race car driver. I was thinking about it this morning. Who's driving in the Grand Prix, let's say. And as he's driving, he's thanking God. God, you know, there's such good tires on this car. But you know, I've gone around the track so many times, the tires are starting to get a little worn. And I'm afraid if the track gets slick, I might slide or something may happen. Or if it starts to rain, I might not have the traction I need to go around the curve. So he starts focusing on his tires. and starts praying about his tires. You see, it's the wrong focus because that's not what it's all about. It's about the race, folks. And he's behind that wheel for a specific purpose. And suddenly pulls into the pit stop and out comes the crew with the add-ons, right? They're add-ons to the race. And immediately, zip, 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 the old tires are taken off, the new ones are put on, and he gets out of his car and he walks around and says, "Oh, Lord, thank you. These are awesome tires." And he feels the treads and everybody's looking at their watch. And he fails to understand that the longer he focuses on the add-ons, the more behind he's getting in the race. Yes. And so suddenly when he pulls back on the track, he's 18 laps behind where he's supposed to have been because his focus was wrong. He was you know, folks, do you understand why you're in your seat? He fails to realize that he's in that driver's seat for a reason. He's in a race that he's supposed to win. And there's a measure of glory that's only human at the end, of course, a trophy. There's something at the end. But he's failed to realize why he's behind the wheel of that car. Now, that's only an example. But do you realize why you're sitting in this seat in the house of God, what this is all about? Do you realize that you and I are here to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? The cry of our heart has got to be, and there will never be a spiritual awakening without it. Lord, what is the purpose of my life? What have you called me to do? What have I been singularly anointed to do? What's in your heart towards me? How do I fit in the kingdom of God? How is my life to bring you glory? What is it that you would have me to do? And on the way to perform that, Lord, clean up my life. Take away everything from my life that dishonors you, that would bring your name into reproach. If I was put out publicly tomorrow and this thing is still in my life, it would bring your name to reproach. So God, get these things out of my life that don't belong there. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things that occupy so much of our thinking and our time, all these other things that are such a primary concern, has it dawned on you that you have a purpose in the kingdom of God? It's not just about paying your rent and putting food in your cupboard. I know that's important to you. It's also important to God. Jesus said, your heavenly Father already knows what you need. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. That's why King David could say, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Praise be to God. I can say that too from my heart. I have known many godly people. I've never seen one of them forsaken ever at any time or his seed begging bread. It not only affects you when you seek first the kingdom of God, it affects your children, it affects your grandchildren, it affects your nephews, it affects your nieces, it affects your brothers, it affects your sisters. There is a blessing of God that is commanded, and it begins to flow through your life when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's still the cry of my heart. I've walked this a long time, but I'm starting to realize something. If God's going to send an awakening to a nation, to a city, to even a church, there has to be a people in that place who are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have no idea the ministries that would be born. You are listening to me online. You're not destined just to be an ex-drug addict. You are an evangelist. You are a pastor. You are a missionary. We are part of a supernatural kingdom. We are part of a kingdom that is supposed to bring glory to God in an indisputable way. With the presence, the power of God on us, giving us the ability to do things we could never do in our own strength. That's who we are. I guess my point is, what are we going to pray for? What are we going to focus on? If it's all about us, we'll never know an awakening. The Lord God will never bring people into his house to hear about that. There's a point where these things are important when we're in infancy in the house of God, but then all of a sudden we begin to realize we're called to something much greater than this, much higher. I have a stirring inside of me that is deepening, and I know it's the Holy Spirit inside of my life, that there's so much more that he has for all of us. I don't want to get to the throne of God one day and have Jesus Christ look at me and then suddenly, because it's a moment of truth, and it won't be to condemn me, I'm already saved, but a moment of truth where he says, this is what your life could have been. This was my plan for you. To find out that I had so focused on the wrong things, so let my thoughts be occupied with those things that the Gentiles, the godless seek after, that I missed the point of my life. I missed the power of God to perform it. If you can lay hold of this, if you can hear this, it opens your heart to something of God that can't be humanly produced. Only he can do it. Suddenly, when you begin to pray this way, what I used to call preposterous thoughts start coming into your mind. As a young Christian, I began to pray, and I wanted my whole heart to be given to God. And suddenly, these pictures of standing in places before lots of people began. And it was something that I wasn't enamored to it. I was terrified by it. But yet it began, God began to speak it into my heart. If you can hear it, let's quit praying about the add-ons. I'm not saying that we shouldn't utter a prayer sometime and say, God, please, would you help me pay the rent? Or would you give me food for my children? I recognize that. But don't let it become your whole focus, because he's already promised. I want you to read these verses and meditate on them when you get home. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33 is either true or it's not. And we have to deal with it. He either will add to us everything we need or he won't. I have proven in my life that it's true. It's true. My father told me when I went into full-time ministry, he said, you're a fool. You're a fool, he said. You're throwing away your life. You're throwing away your career for what? And he says, when you don't have money to buy milk for your children, don't come running to me. I remember the pain of those words. I said, Dad, all I can tell you is that God has called me, and I believe that God will be faithful to me. Years later, he had seen the provision of God in my life. He had seen God bless me. He had watched my children all go through college. He had all the things that he said were never going to happen, happened. He watched the bills all being paid. And I sat down with him, and I remember he sat him on a bench. He was visiting me. I said, now you and I have to talk again. I said, you've watched my life, and you've seen that God has been faithful. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, all these things will be added to you. And you have witnessed that they have been added to Pastor Teresa and I, both of us. We've never needed for or wanted for anything. God has always, always provided for us. Always. Always. Shortly after that, I was able to lead him to Christ. He saw the blessing of God, you see, folks. He saw it. The skepticism went out the window and he saw it. He saw what the Lord had done. And that's my prayer for you, for me. You see, for this generation to be awakened, they need to see the church again. In order for them to see the church, they need to see Christ in us. There is no other way. We're not going to come up with some new gimmick. God knows we've done that for 20 years. The stupidity the Church of Jesus Christ has done in his name is mind-boggling, thinking that these things are going to save the nation. When it's all here, it's all clear. If you begin to pray, God will begin to show you what you're actually called to be and do. And don't say no. Don't say no. He's God. He said to Moses, who made your mouth? Don't tell me you can't speak. Don't tell me who created the universe with the word of his mouth, there's something I can't do in your life or through your life. Don't tell me I can't raise you up. Don't tell me I can't speak through you or flow through you or do miracles through you. Don't tell me I can't provide for you. Don't tell me I will fail you or forsake you, because I won't. And there comes a point where we reckon with it and we deal with it and say, Lord, I believe. God, I believe. I believe with all my heart that if I seek you first and your righteousness, you won't fail me. and you will add everything to my life that I need. That I need. Not that I greed. That I need. There's a big difference. He'll add it to you. Praise be to God. It's so hard to believe that. Get so quiet when you start talking about faith beyond bread, clothes. It's so hard, but it's so real. And every once in a while through history, somebody lays hold of it. I love that. I love the fact that Isaiah, the prophet, says it's the lame who take the prey. It's the people who got the miracles in Jesus' day. Wasn't it the people who just crawled through the crowd? The people with their religious garments scratch their beards and say, how could a prophet come from Jerusalem? While the leper's climbing through and the people are blind and say, have mercy on me. And they're getting the miracles. The religious crowd are just left with their beards and all their scriptures. And the people that nobody cared about are getting the miracles. And they're testifying of who God is and what he has done. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And a few of these things will be added to you. Oh, it doesn't say that. What does it say? All these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. So let your prayer be, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's where it started with Saul of Tarsus when the Lord touched him and he became Paul the Apostle. The first prayer out of that man's mouth, Lord, what would you have me to do? Praise be to God. And God kept him his whole life. God kept him. He sought first the kingdom of God. In the storm in Acts chapter 27, he sought first the kingdom of God. And God added to him 276 souls on that ship. He broke bread. Where do you think he got the bread from in the midst of the storm? It was added to him because he was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Where do you think he got the piece of wood that he had to hang on to swim to shore? It was added to him. God gave him these things because he sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things were added to him. And may we lay hold of that truth again in our generation. May we cherish it. May we love it. May we long for it with all of our heart. May it not be just a fanciful thought that we push to the sidelines and then go back to praying about our add-ons. May it be the focus of our lives because the future of thousands of people now depends on it, on what you and I choose to do. And we are right on the edge of an awakening now. God has spared us an unspeakable agenda of darkness in the nation for only a short season. We have only a window to pray this way. But if we will pray, if we will call out to God, if we will say, Lord, use my life, the potential in this room is mind-boggling of what God could do. The people that he could raise up in every strata of society. I'm not talking about just preachers in a pulpit. Every strata of society. Whether it's in the media, whether it's in business, whether it's in the school system, wherever. There's no limit to what God could do through your life. And you and I won't just be reading about what God did through some other people at some other time. No, it will be written about us as well. I'm not satisfied just to read about what God did in history. I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that with all my heart. And so I'm going to seek him with all my heart and his righteousness. And all these things should be added. I'm not worried about the things anymore. Praise be to God. Have courage to believe him. Have courage. Have courage to believe that you might be a missionary. Have courage to believe that God can actually flow healing and deliverance through your hands. This moment in history depends on what you and I choose to do now, because there is no plan B. It's all in the hands of the church now. By God's grace, we will be what God calls us to be.
Thank you for joining us this week for A Call to the Nation with Carter Conlon from Times Square Church in New York City. For more information, log on to tsc.nyc. That's tsc.nyc. You can count on a powerful message each week on A Call to the Nation with Carter Conlon.